Hello, everybody. This is our 21st Esoteric Astrology Adventure. And it's been a few weeks since we've been able to work together. We've been discussing the creative hierarchies. Hierarchy number 4, and I'll just read a little bit of the background. Hierarchy 4. The fourth creative hierarchy is the group wherein the highest aspect of man, his father in heaven, that is the monad, finds its place. These lives are the points of fire. All lives are points, we must remember. These lives are the points of fire who must become the flame. Perhaps this means they must transition into the sea of fire, which is the highest plane, the logoic plane, the atomic ether of the cosmic physical planes. And this they will do through the agency of the fifth hierarchy, which are the great sacrificial lives, the solar angels, the Agnishvatas, many other names, and we will go over them when we reach that point, and the four wicks, or the two dual lower hierarchies, the sixth manifested and seventh manifested creative hierarchy. Yes, we were discussing whether all hierarchies are triple. Some of them are, but it appears that the fifth creative hierarchy is also dual. I commented last time. Is the fourth creative hierarchy triple or dual? This remains a question which we must answer. Thus it can be seen that where man is concerned, the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh hierarchies are, during the cycle of incarnation, his very self. They are the lords of sacrifice, that is, we are. We are lords of ceaseless and persevering devotion, and lords of love, the flower of Atma-Buddhi. Sometimes the monad itself is called Atma-Buddhi, and this represents the two aspects of man which are most important to develop at this time, will and love. So we are speaking about these four hierarchies, 4, 5, 6, and 7, and they are for man at this time, his very self. That does not mean they are pure being. The essence of the monad is pure being. The field through which the monad expresses, even on the second cosmic ether or monadic plane, is not the monad per se. All monads are one. There is but one universal monad in all cosmos. All subdivisions are ultimately illusory, and the monad, in essence, is pure being, which is a projection. I like to call it a positude, positude, a positude or a positing from Venus itself, which is the absolute. Those are the deepest matters I think one can ever contemplate, and I don't think there is any solution. No immediate solution for us, given our stage of unfoldment of the mind. In studying these hierarchies, one of the most valuable lessons to be learned is the place and importance of man in the scheme. We must know ourselves, and we must know our true place in the divine plan. This, of course, takes lifetimes to assess. The hierarchy, for instance, which is the essence of the intangible life of spirit, the principle of Buddhi, is the esoteric cause of the cosmic marriage of spirit and matter. It is as if Buddhi is the middle or equilibrizing type of electricity, a neutral electricity, harmonious electricity, which harmonizes spirit and matter. The fourth creative hierarchy has its area of expression. Let's see if we can find this here. Yeah. Has its area of expression upon the fourth or Buddhic plane. Here are seven manifested creative hierarchies, and the fourth has much Buddhic content, although its monadic nature originates on the monadic plane. Its field of expression is the fourth or Buddhic plane. So the hierarchy, for instance, which is the essence of the intangible life of spirit, the principle of Bodhi, in our solar system, Bodhi is closely allied with the intangible life of spirit because it is indeed a second ray Buddhic and partially astral solar system. This principle of Bodhi is the esoteric cause of the cosmic marriage of spirit and matter, based on the love and desire of the Logos. The Logos, of course, has all of the principles that man has, including his, including a desire body, which is particularly focused, we will realize, on the cosmic astral plane. But each hierarchy also expresses itself through one particular manifestation, which comes to be regarded by the finite mind of man as the hierarchy itself. Well, we certainly have our vehicles of manifestation, which we identify as man. But really, the true man is something other than the appearance. DK says, this is not so, and care must be taken to distinguish between these hierarchies. Well, this we are attempting to do. We do have to remember that the information given on these tables of creative hierarchies is gathered from various sources. It is incomplete. The nomenclature is not finely adjusted. There is much more that can be said, and we can identify these creative hierarchies by other names which might be even more familiar to us in the West. But we work with what we have, and we're told that Master DK is that master who knows more about the creative hierarchies than any other master. And so perhaps in the third installment of his teaching, we will be given more about these the lives within these forms through which we and other entities express. Remember that in essence, all creative hierarchies are aggregations of monads, and they are at different stages of expression and unfoldment. In essence, every creative hierarchy is fundamentally monadic, fundamentally a unit of pure being, an emanation, an expression of the ultimate logos in cosmos that I like to call the universal logos, although the word universal, we realize, is often used in a far lesser context and sometimes simply means our solar system. For instance, universality sometimes means our solar system. Okay, hopefully we are not experiencing too great a degradation of our sound quality. Every once in a while I get a little warning here, and hopefully I cannot really stop to find out, unfortunately. All right, so this is as far as we went. We were on page 41, 42. Page 42 and 43. That's as far as we went in Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 20. That was the beginning of the discussion of the fourth creative hierarchy, the fourth manifested creative hierarchy. Now we move on. They are the latent germs of force centers and manifest subjectively. We're speaking of the creative hierarchies in general, I believe. Let us see. But each hierarchy also expresses itself through one particular manifestation, which comes to be regarded by the finite mind of man as the hierarchy itself, and care must be taken to distinguish. So we're speaking initially not of the hierarchy of the fourth grade of hierarchy of human monads, but of all hierarchies in this initial statement. They are the latent germs of force centers and manifest subjectively. They warm and vitalize groups of forms. I suppose the essential life power is coming from these monads, which are at various stages of expression. They flower forth and express themselves through the medium of a form or another hierarchy. Every hierarchy has vehicles of expression. And hierarchies, some of the greater ones, express through a number of vehicles of expression. Man, for instance, the hierarchy of human monads, is expressing through the vehicle provided by the fifth creative hierarchy, by the sixth, and by the seventh, as well as higher vehicles provided by the third creative hierarchy. Those would be the triadal vehicles, and even the monadic vehicle provided, I would assume, by the second creative hierarchy. These hierarchies are all interrelated and are negative or positive to each other, as the case may be. Negative will mean receptive, and positive will mean influencing. Man is certainly positive at this time to the fifth, sixth, and seventh creative hierarchies, though negative to an aspect of the fifth and to the third and the second. Man is, in a way, negative to the true solar angel. He is negative to the triadal lives, the triple flowers, as they are called. He is negative to the divine builders, which I presume it says conferring soul, but conferring his monadic vehicle. Okay. As is stated in The Secret Doctrine, Volume 1, page 238, this hierarchy, that is, the human creative hierarchy, is the nursery for the incarnating jivas. The jiva is an extension of the monad. The jiva is the, let us call it, the true pilgrim. The monad is considered a pilgrim, but an aspect of the monad goes forth. This you find in the story of the prodigal son, where the elder brother stays at home with the father, and the younger brother goes forth into a distant and foreign land and there wastes his substance. That is the jiva, who is experiencing a journey, a pilgrimage, through the five lower worlds. So as is stated in The Secret Doctrine, Volume 1, page 238, this hierarchy is the nursery for the incarnating jivas. It ultimately is the source of energy which sustains these jivas. Of course, a great energy is also contributed by the solar angel. That which is man is a combination of energies provided by the monad on its own plane and by the solar angels as they invest themselves partially in the higher mental plane. And it carried in it the germs of the lives which achieved the human stage in another solar system, but were not able to proceed beyond that owing to the coming in of pralaya, which projected them into a state of latency. Now, I think he is talking about the solar angels here. There were, achieved the human stage but not able to proceed beyond that. Yes, well, there were in the previous solar system, we know, a number of monads which had achieved the human state, but they were considered the failures of that previous solar system because they were not able to pass beyond the human stage. At the same time, the solar angels did achieve a completeness of humanity in the previous solar system, and were able to move beyond the human kingdom and become solar angels. So DK may be speaking of carrying within this fourth grade of hierarchy those particular monads who had been human in another solar system but still remained human. They were not able to work their way out of the then human kingdom, whatever that may have been in those far distant times. So they were projected into a state of latency, but at the same time they may have learned much during that period, just the way we are told that the moonchain monads learned much before they were projected into the fourth chain of the Earth scheme. They had been developing on the third chain, the moon chain of the Earth scheme, but they were projected into a state of latency, but it was a condition, we understand, of learning and of preparing them to enter the fourth chain during its fourth round and on its fourth globe and in its fourth root race during the third sub-race of that root race. All that's a little bit complicated, but suffice it to say that Pralaya has its conditions wherein those units that are found within it can learn and keep pace with the evolution which is happening on the lower planes and which they must re-enter at a certain point. The condition of the hierarchy is similar, only on a cosmic scale, to the condition of the seeds of human life held in a state of obscuration during an interchain period. Yes, well, we've just been saying that, haven't we? The moonchain monads were not ready to enter the Earth chain of the Earth scheme when they were scheduled to. They would not be ready, let me say, unless they had been schooled and unless they had been developed to a certain extent in the state of Pralaya between chains. Now, you know, that's a complicated matter. There's a big question about whether chains, which are chakras in the planetary logos, whether they appear sequentially or whether they appear all at once and are activated sequentially. Certainly, if we take the analogy, the chakras of man appear relatively simultaneously. They all exist at once, but there are differences in their states of activation. So it may very well be that the third chain and the fourth chain of the Earth scheme and other chains all exist simultaneously, but the pattern of their activation operates according to law and perhaps in some cases is sequential. At least the theosophists seem to think that it is sequential, though when we study the chakra system of man, we realize that a number of chakras may be activated simultaneously and an emphasis may be focused on one or then another, which is not particularly in sequence. So this is an advanced study, but I think the analogy between the human chakric system and the planetary and solar chakric systems should be sustained as much as possible. And then we will see that the easy concept of strict sequentiality may not always be observed exactly as we think it is. So anyway, the condition of the hierarchy, this fourth grade of hierarchy, is similar only on a cosmic scale, because after all, these hierarchies are not strictly planetary. They are found everywhere within our solar system, and of course, beyond as well, but about that we don't know, only on a cosmic scale, to the condition of the seeds of human life held in the state of obscuration during an interchain period. Well, by seeds of human life, I think DK means primarily the monad. Primarily the monad. But also remember that in an earlier chain, the moon chain, quite a number of human monads had achieved the development of an egoic lotus, and for a number of them, a few, or even sometimes he says several, petals were unfolded. So all of that achievement is not going to be negated. That, too, is a seed of the coming manifestation in the fourth chain. But the real seed, of course, is the monad itself, and the term seed with its first ray and powerful indications is often applied to the monad. So they were held in a state of obscuration during an interchain period, and the interchain period, according to the chronology, sometimes is said to last as long as the chain lasted. So it's a vast period of time. And DK talks about the huge amount of time that separated the activity of the third chain from that of the fourth. The three other hierarchies dealt with, the first, second, and third, were those who have in previous kalpas of logoic manifestation passed beyond the human stage altogether. Now, in other words, we're talking about the... Talking about the divine flames or divine lives, the divine builders that are called here the burning sons of desire, and we're talking about the lesser builders or the triple flowers. So, and notice he didn't say in the previous kalpa of logoic manifestation, which would have meant the previous solar system. He says in previous kalpas. So the development of these first three of the manifested creative hierarchies was post-human, perhaps kalpas ago. In other words, they entered the previous solar system not as humans at all. They had transcended that. It was the members of the higher, I suppose, fifth creative hierarchy, the solar angels, our solar angels at present, who were human in the previous solar system, whatever that humanity may have been. Now, notice the word kalpa is ambiguous. It need not necessarily mean a maha kalpa of 311 trillion years. At least that's the figure assigned to our present maha kalpa. And somewhere it says they last a similar period of time, and elsewhere it says that the earlier kalpas take longer than mahakalpas take longer than the present mahakalpas. Anyway, the three hierarchies previously dealt with, 1, 2, and 3, are definitely superhuman and were superhuman even in the previous solar system. They passed beyond the human stage altogether. They are therefore the arupa, or formless group. Well, they are a rupa with respect to the cosmic physical plane because they are located very much within the cosmic ethers, and no doubt, or so I think, their monads are found minimally on the cosmic astral plane. I'll put that down, monads on the cosmic astral plane, even as the monads of the solar, our present solar angels, are probably found on the cosmic astral plane, because if they went to Sirius in order to be educated, let us call it, as solar angels, they would have had to journey to the cosmic astral plane and be free of whatever the cosmic physical plane was in that previous solar system. And the remaining groups are the rupa groups, or those having forms. Well, what do we mean by a form? Humanity, in a way, has some forms which are found on the A-Rupa levels. Solar systemically considered, the A-Rupa levels are Buddhic, atmic monadic, let us say. Whether or not the causal body should be considered rupa or arupa, form or formless, depends upon our perspective. From the point of view of the lower 18 subplanes, which are definitely concretely rupa and are found in the dense physical body of the solar logos, the egoic lotus is arupa. But from the point of view of the solar logos, the egoic lotus is still occurring within his dense physical body, though not necessarily within the dense physical body of the planetary logos. This is a point which I have sometimes emphasized, and it leads to interesting implications which are not totally soluble, at least by me at this particular point. So he's talking about the manifested hierarchies, three of which are arupa, yet they would have arupa forms, which are usually considered formless from the lower perspective. You know, he tells us about the shape of the Buddhic permanent atom of man, which is found on the Buddhic plane, and if it has shape, even though it's an energy field, it is a rupa, even though a subtle type of form. The fourth creative hierarchy, or the ninth, we know how we count, right? Counting from the five on the cosmic astral plane and then adding to it four more on the cosmic physical plane. So its number is nine as well as four. Its numbers are 9, 4, and 4. Four down, four up, and nine down from the cosmic astral plane. The fourth creative hierarchy, or the ninth, must ever be regarded in this solar system as occupying what might be considered as the third place. Okay, third place. Let us see what he means. First, the lives or the three persons of the Trinity. Okay, now, the Trinity. There are different ways of looking at the Trinity. And let's see if I can find this. Yes, this particular... The Trinity, there are several trinities. The solar systemically, the Trinity is found surrounding the solar logos, and are these logoi that express will, love, wisdom, and active intelligence. Sanat Kumara has surrounding him a kind of Trinity, three Kumaras that are known as the three Buddhas of activity, but there are also three others which are considered to be esoteric. And I wouldn't be surprised if the solar logos, these may be considered Kumaras, the three persons of the Trinity, but there may be three others which are esoteric. It's almost always the six surrounding the one. So, second, the prototypes of man, or the seven spirits. Now, are the prototypes, are the prototypes the members of the second creative hierarchy? It did say they were the prototypes of the monads, and they can be considered in a way, I think we're talking perhaps planetarily. This is my impression at this moment, and we're not talking solar systemically. Man has the third place. Well, okay, first the lives of the three persons of the Trinity, which would be, let us say, these Buddhas of activity, these high Kumaras, which are cooperating with Sanat Kumara, who is a projection of the planetary logos of our solar system, an emanation, we might say, a directed emanation, and not a separate being from our planetary logos, per se. Then, the prototypes of man, or the seven spirits. Now, the seven spirits before the throne. In some ways, these might be considered, are these ray lords? Intraplanetary Raylords. We know that every planet, per se, is a Raylord, and even every solar logos is a kind of Raylord. And the Raylords mount in their power and scope all the way up the cosmic septenates until we find probably the seven greatest of all the Raylords, which are universal Raylords serving the universal logos on the very highest cosmic planes possible, for which we have no maps and no real indications, except that it is sometimes said that there are 10 dimensions in cosmos. So perhaps we do live in a universe with 10 dimensions. So anyway, these may be the seven spirits before the throne in a planetary sense, and they would be located within Shambhala. And where could we find these seven spirits? Let us take a look. They would be these seven. Here would be the Buddhas of activity, and also would be found the three persons of the Trinity, and here would be found on the monadic level. We're talking about intraplanetary. Now, this map can serve as a solar systemic map, in which case we'd be talking about the logoic Trinity and the seven planetary logos. But if we consider it from the context of the planetary logos, then we would have majorly the three Buddhas of activity and the seven spirits before the throne, which would be Raylords. We have to decide, are we considering his statements from the solar systemic point of view within the body of the solar logos, or are we confining ourselves to our planetary logos and looking for the correspondences to those solar systemic divisions? All right, so third, man has the third place, we are told. Man, or the lowest manifestation of self, of the self-conscious spirit aspect. Not the lowest manifestation of spirit, because spirit manifests through all things, but not self-consciously. Man is the lowest manifestation of the self-conscious spirit aspect. Man is a spirit awakening to its nature. Man is spirit's consciousness of itself. I have often thought that each being in cosmos is really a degree of the self-consciousness of the universal logos. Self is purely a state of consciousness, especially what we call the lesser selves, the one ultimate self or the one ultimate pure being is the universal logos cyclically appearing. And self is defined by the sense of being. The recognition of being is what I would call a selfhood. And there is one greatest in our cosmos recognition of being, and that is the recognition of being possessed by that entity, that ray coming forth from be-ness, that ray being what I call the universal logos. When that logos endowed with consciousness recognizes itself to be, then we have the first illustration or the first example of selfhood. I think that that the ultimate be-ness, which I call the infinitescence, the absolute, infinitely infinite in its nature, does not per se recognize itself to be, and if it has selfhood, that selfhood is absolutely infinite. Nothing can be added to or taken from it. But anyway, that's a digression along the third ray line, I think. And I dealt with those matters in my book, Infinitization of Selfhood. But I'm always thinking about those things and thinking about how to penetrate more deeply into them. And I'm finding there are always deepening perspectives, even though there's no hope of solving those ultimate issues while being a human being. I sometimes wonder whether the universal logos itself can solve the issue of the unfathomable absoluteness. Well, anyway, we are limited by human concepts at the moment, and hope to outgrow them. Okay, anyway, man is in the third place. He's the self-conscious spirit aspect, but he's the lowest manifestation of the self-conscious spirit aspect. So, you know, we human beings, we're just waking up to the self-created reality in which we are immersed. By self-created, I mean that which has been created by the going forth of the universal logos into multiplicity. So anyway, DK says, this needs to be carefully considered and has no reference to the form aspect, but solely to the nature of the lives, capital L, expressing themselves through other lives who are also self-conscious or fully intelligent. This certain of the hierarchies are not. So DK seems to be telling us that the greater hierarchies are expressing through us. These great lives are expressing themselves through us who are lives. We are self-conscious. Greater hierarchies or groups of monads express themselves through the forms created by lesser groups of monads, and on, whether the monad, higher monads express through lesser monads is a philosophical question, because the essence of all monads are pure beings. So we can only express through forms or energy fields generated by lesser monads. Though perhaps in our monadic state we will realize the presence of greater presences, which are the monads of the higher creative hierarchies, and in doing that we will realize that we ourselves are those presences, that we are just extensions of those presences, until finally we realize that we are an extension of the one and only cosmic presence, which is the being nature, the pure being nature of the universal logos. Anyway, certain hierarchies are self-conscious, we are, and I don't know if we're fully intelligent, and other hierarchies are not either self-conscious, though they are conscious, everything in cosmos is conscious, or fully intelligent. They are intelligent in their own unconscious way. Intelligence is pervasive, consciousness is pervasive, being is pervasive. Let's just say that we'll put it like this, the three aspects of the Trinity are pervasive. And that is being, consciousness and intelligence. Okay. The four lower hierarchies are all concerned with manifestation in the three worlds. Remember, the dense physical body of the solar logos. Yes, the dense physical body of the solar logos. They are those who can discard or pass through the etheric body of the solar logos. Discarding is an interesting thing, because in a way one would wonder how one can discard that which is still an essential part of one's nature. For the human being, you know, these cosmic physical fields, cosmic etheric fields, are still an integral part of their nature. So anyway, but they can pass through, an aspect of consciousness of the monad can pass through the etheric body of the solar logos, and take forms composed of either gaseous, liquid, or dense substance. Now, when we talk about gaseous, liquid, or dense, we often think systemically, but DK may be thinking cosmically, cosmic gaseous, which is mental, cosmic liquid, which is astral, and cosmic dense, which is our etheric physical plane, systemic. Okay, the others cannot, they cannot fall into physical generation, and there's that word fall, which suggests the fall of the angels and the fall of higher beings into a lower state. We must realize that the fall is often deliberate. It is the result of a choice to redeem. This is the case with man, the monad, who in undertaking his divine pilgrimage through the five lower planes is actually falling. He's falling especially into the three lower planes where his task is most difficult. The solar angels, too, have certainly transcended the dense part of the cosmic physical plane. This they did long ago in a previous solar system, but they have fallen, or an aspect of themselves has been projected into the higher mental plane, which is still in the dense level of the solar logos. And this is a very deliberate fall, purposeful, that is arising at the time when our planetary logos' heart center was awakening. Now, if you think about it, that heart center, as we have discussed before, may be occurring on the monadic plane, just the way the heart center of just the way the heart center of man is occurring on the second ether. Let's take a look at that, because this is an interesting possibility. Notice, we've gone through this, but notice how the heart center, right there, make it a little bigger, the heart center right there is on the second ether. Well, that's the heart center of man. Well, maybe the heart center of the solar logos is on the second cosmic ether, or monadic level, in which case the awakening of the heart center of man has much to do with what the human monads decide in terms of their pilgrimage. In other words, when man undertook his pilgrimage into the five lower worlds, and especially the three lower worlds, something within the solar logoic heart center may have been stirring, because man may be found within the solar logoic heart center, etherically considered, cosmic etherically considered. And then the solar angels come in and assist him to reach the lower planes, because the bridge had not been completely built. So the awakening of the planetary heart center, and we have to try to understand what degree of awakening, we don't know, but the awakening of the planetary heart center involves, we can see, not only the solar angels, but man, the monad, as well. There's a very great cooperation between man, the monad, and these higher, more refined lives from a previous solar system called the solar angels. Anyway, the first three of the manifested creative hierarchies cannot fall into physical generation. There is that within them which is so high that it repels that possibility. They would just rise right out of it. They cannot sustain themselves there, nor is it necessary in terms of the cosmic economy that they do so. Students must bear in mind that from the standpoint of the logos, the solar angels on the mental plane, higher mental plane, the fifth subplane of the cosmic physical plane, are in physical incarnation. This is something I've been emphasizing. You know, we usually think of physicality in systemic terms. But even when we're on the astral plane or the mental plane, or even when we are achieving causal consciousness, we are in the dense physical incarnation of the solar logos. And what is called The second fall applies to this. The first fall, let's take a look at these falls, because this will clarify our mind, and then, of course, we can go to the secret doctrine for perhaps a more involved expression of this, but certainly none that is any clearer than this is. The first fall has reference to the taking of a form of cosmic etheric matter. So if you're on the physical, cosmic physical plane, you have fallen. In this particular case, the four liberated hierarchies are not in a fallen state. They are definitely on the cosmic astral plane. The fifth almost liberated hierarchy, which is still focused on the highest of the cosmic ethers, which is a shambolic domain in a way, they are in a state of partial fall. The first fall has reference to the taking of a form of cosmic etheric matter, such as is the case with the heavenly men, the prototypes of the human jivas. And here, you know, this is really, that term, prototypes of the human jivas, is related to the second creative hierarchy. Somehow this second creative hierarchy represents the heavenly men or the planetary logoi. I think we cannot say that the second creative hierarchy is the planetary logoi. This would be problematic. But several times we have run into this to the statement prototypes of the human jivas, and we do know that in a way the monads of the human kingdom are found within the centers or chakras of the planetary logoi. And what I'm thinking is that this second creative hierarchy of burning suns of desire, or what are all they called here, the second creative hierarchy. Let's look again. Yeah, they're called divine builders, yes. The second creative hierarchy is providing the fields or substance of the chakras, of the etheric chakras of the solar logos on the etheric plane. I do not believe they are the planetary logoi themselves. I have speculated about this, but it doesn't, I think, really, it doesn't really make sense. The planetary logoi, many Mahakalpas ago, had achieved the stage that a human being now calls mastership. So anyway, the divine builders, or the second creative hierarchy, which are the prototypes of the human jivas, I think are providing the field substance in which the human jivas can express as monads. This obviously is intricate matter and has to be far more thoroughly researched. But anyway, the first fall is the descent into cosmic etheric matter, such as is the case with the heavenly men. Now, which heavenly men are we talking about? The term heavenly men can mean the planetary logoi, but it can also mean chain lords, it can mean globe lords. A number of these entities can be called heavenly men. But suffice it to say, our solar logos is active on the highest cosmic ethers. Our planetary logos is active there, so an aspect of them has fallen into cosmic etheric matter. They are not divorced from, abstracted from cosmic etheric matter. They are not expressing only on the cosmic astral plane. They, an aspect of themselves in a way, has fallen into generation, though their egos, their higher selves, are found on the cosmic mental plane. In this latter case, the bodies used are called formless. That is, the first fall involves a fall onto the cosmic etheric planes where you have formless forms. They are called formless from our standpoint and are the vital bodies animated by cosmic prana. So let's call these formless forms of the cosmic etheric plane. In the case of ourselves and the remaining groups, the forms, and I would say in our case some forms, are composed of substance of the three lower planes, that which the Logos does not regard as a principle. You know how it always is that the dense physical vehicle of man, whether he's a grand man or a heavenly man or man as we know him, these dense physical vehicles are not considered principles. They were developed in earlier systems. And therefore, matter responding still to the vibration of the earlier system, and this is our problem, because we do have within our nature that which responds to an earlier vibration and seems to want to go in a different direction from the direction which is intended in this second solar system, and this is our struggle. This is our struggle, symbolized by the battle between the sun and the moon. So in the second fall group, and we are in that group, we are in that those fields of matter which are responding to the tendencies of the previous solar system. And this means that the four lower hierarchies, it continues, are links between the life of the past and of the future. Now, man is peculiarly a linking group. He is the fourth creative hierarchy. He stands midway between the first and seventh. We are caught in a war between the past and the destined future. We're caught between the tendencies of the primordial ray, which is the third, and the divine ray, which is the second. So, in other words, man is the present. And this is interesting because the fourth ray is so much connected with the eternal now and the present. Fourth ray types are always involved in the present, between the past and the future. And the fourth ray types are very much interested, even, you know, in terms of normal human living, in the now, not worrying about the past and not planning for the future. So they are particularly spontaneous. And I think there's a type of spontaneity, a type of spontaneity in the eternal now is to be achieved by man. When we have that eternal now, we have the consciousness of the Buddhic plane, which is the fourth plane. And on that plane, time, as we know it, dies. So there's a lot about this number four here. When it tells that this hierarchy is the present, it's a hierarchy which is meant to detect the presence in the present and overcome the usual limitations and strictures of the time sense, which is generated by the dense physical brain. Anyway, they are links between the past and the future. They had not yet finished their contacts with the active intelligence principle of the previous Kalpa. Well, perhaps some within this hierarchy had not even been operating in that manner, but certainly a distinct number of monads had in the previous Mahakalpa been exposed to the active intelligence principle. What many of us were as pre-individualized monads is difficult to say. The monad does have its history. Some of us were individualized in the previous solar system and were operating directly with the intelligence principle. Perhaps others of us were monads but not individualized per se, and were also in our own way acting in relation to the active intelligence principle of that preceding Kalpa. We don't know how on the monadic plane, if there was a monadic plane at that time, I suppose there was, we don't know how interaction with the intelligence principle occurs on that plane. But some were definitely individualized and interacting with the active intelligence principle, a great number of third-ray monads, I would say. And so they must continue such contacts in this. And that's really, you know, from a practical point of view, that is all of us. Not just the ones who were individualized, the nomads who came over from the previous solar system as individualized beings. All of us have to continue some connection with the intelligence principle of the previous Kalpas. And if we had not yet individualized in that previous solar system, it certainly shows that we as monads had not completed our work as man, far from it. even those who were man at that time did not at all complete their work as man, as the solar angels did, a higher form of men, in a way. You wonder whether there were lower types of men at that time who are still continuing their work now, and higher types who became solar angels. I wonder if they were all part of the same group. They will work it out in this system. The four will become the three, and they will then be the three higher, Arupa hierarchies of the next system. So it looks like man will be one of the three. Now, which will unite? Perhaps it will be that the part of the solar angel which is helping man now will unite with him, and thereby make it possible for the number four to become the number three. Anyway, our destiny, it looks like the destiny of man, is to become one of the three higher Arupa hierarchies. Now, probably, maybe the highest. Maybe the highest for man. And maybe the sixth and seventh grade of hierarchies will be accordingly in the position of the divine builders and the lesser builders. These, of course, are speculations, but we are in a way invited to speculate when we are presented with such material, and perhaps as we speculate, some flash of intuition will come which will help put our vision of the planet, the system, and the cosmos into greater coherence. Well, I realize I haven't covered a lot of ground here. It's been a little ramifying, I would say, but we are at the point where we will discontinue Esoteric Astrology Adventure 21, and this is the end of this, and whatever page we may be on, we will continue shortly. Yes, we're on page 44. Okay, we're on page 44. So now, as we usually do, we will sound that most important mantram, the great invocation, the mantram which does more to bring the Christ here in a timely manner than any other means we might use. From the point of light within, and let us see. Okay. No, there we go. Okay. From the point of light within the mind of God, let light stream forth into the minds of men. Let light descend on earth. From the point of love within the heart of God, let love stream forth into the hearts of men. May Christ return to earth. From the center where the will of God is known, let purpose guide the little wills of men, the purpose which the masters know and serve. From the center which we call the race of men, let the plan of love and light work out, and may it seal the door where evil dwells. Let light and love and power restore the plan on earth. Friends, we will go on with Esoteric Astrology Adventure number 22, and we're almost to the point where we're taking up the fifth creative hierarchy, and that is always of interest to us. So we'll see you shortly, if today is one of those days when I can do a number of these, perhaps. Let us see. All right. Bye-bye for now.